Let's please turn your Bibles to Leviticus 18:1. Last week we did more on the Day of Atonement sacrifice, the once a year where the Jews get to feel like all the sins are paid for. And then the last chapter ended with God really emphasizing you've got to use, you have to use the prescribed method of worship. You have to go to the temple. You have to do the sacrifice the way it's supposed to be done. And if you don't, then you shouldn't be in the nation of Israel. You should be cut off. And the same thing is true in this dispensation. You've got to come to God through Jesus, our Savior. And if you want to call yourself a Christian, you say, no, I don't have to do that. Then what the Word of God, Old Testament, being applied to the new dispensation of the church would say, well, then you're not a Christian. You're not here. If you would join in our group because you like whatever else is happening, and you say, but I don't really believe in this. Jesus is the only way. I don't believe that He died on the cross for my sins. Believe He was born of a virgin and that He rose from the dead. Then why are you calling yourself a Christian? Well, because you don't want to go here. That we know it's not true. In the same way, it wasn't true if a Jew didn't want to do what God said on the sacrificial system. And now we switch to a chapter that deals with God's definition of sexual immorality. And if you look through all the history of the Bible, is that Satan's biggest attempt to corrupt man is through sexual immorality. In other words, whatever God says is evil, Satan says is good. Whatever God says is sanctioned and good in His eyes, as Hebrews says, the marriage bed is holy, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So then what does Satan want to do? Get rid of marriage. Don't do marriage. And so God says good, Satan says bad. God says evil, Satan says good. And we're watching that. We're watching it because the people of this nation, world, the West especially, are turning towards Satan, the deceiver of their souls. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. And he keeps emphasizing this here at the beginning. I'm God. And now what I'm telling you is non-negotiable. Everybody's going to tell you to do different, and their history, they are going to depart from everything that this is saying. But I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, as soon as they go in to conquer the land of Canaan, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. Why? Because he's going to go on to say, because otherwise you'll be destroyed. You'll self-destruct at first, and then judgment will come. If you do what they did, because he judged Egypt for their wickedness and idol worship, and then he brought his Jews out, and they're in the wilderness for 40 years, then he brings them into Canaan, he says, don't do what they do. I am bringing you to judge them because of their bestiality, adultery, idolatry, all this other stuff that they're doing that has corrupted their culture and their diseases that are in their cultures. I'm bringing you in to wipe them out. And because of the wickedness that was there. And so if you do what they do, you'll have the same diseases that are going to come upon you. And we as a nation have seen all these sexually transmitted diseases that have decimated many people's lives and financially bankrupted, in many ways, people's lives. And it's a strain on the healthcare system. You shall, verse 4, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. See the emphasis there? And we have to, people today, they want to argue with us about everything it's going to say in this chapter. What kind of archaic person are you? Actually, I just believe in the Lord our God. I believe in my Creator. I believe he knows more than we do. And look at what's happening to all you people that want to go off and believe Satan. Look at what's happening to your health, your life, and everything. Leviticus 18:6. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. Uncovering nakedness is having a sexual relationship. It doesn't have to be necessarily, full-born sexual relationship, but just being naked together in the ways that the world says. None of you should approach his near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. And the nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. So it could be your father's wife who's not your mother. And did that ever happen in Scripture? Where do we see that the first time specifically dealt with? It was in Reuben. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 35, verse 21. So really, it's saying no sexual relationships between fathers, mothers, and sons and daughters. Is that violated in our culture today? And it's epidemic. And I would even say, I don't know, but I, because not done a scientific study on it, but when fathers, uncles, whatever, violate girls in the family, daughters, nieces, whatever, I think it's what gives birth to a lot of the immorality those kids grow up with. And the trend towards being a lesbian. The trend towards prostitution. And the same thing of violation of homosexual violation of boys as they're growing up. And what does it tend to do? There are studies that say 90+% of male homosexuals had either been raped as a child or had a horrible relationship with their father, which is also a violation of what God says to do. Fathers are supposed to raise their children lovingly. And so see, there's cause and effect. So when, to me, in a way, you look out and you see all this, all these broken women and men, and you kind of wonder what happened to them in the family situation. What happened to them? First of all, almost for sure, not always the case, because I know some people that were raised with biblical knowledge that went into the LGBT lifestyle. But, you know, they got abused. There's no spiritual input. They don't know who God is. They don't even care who God is. And they get peer pressure that tells them there's no God. And all of a sudden they're being treated this way and Satan's got them. And what does Satan want to do is take them through all that trial and heartache that they went through and then trash them. And that's why I like to talk to people. What happened to you? I mean, what is it that has caused you to want to be in rebellion against the God who loves you? And just start from there with a conversation. And it's just unbelievable what's happening in our culture. You even wonder whether or not a young girl can grow up in a home today and make it into high school not having been violated by her own family with the way the culture has gone. Genesis 35:21. This is right after Rachel, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin, right after she dies, and she had Bilhah, who was her maid. You know, that was the maid of Rachel. And the maid, as a concubine, had two children, Dan and Naphtali. And so, but Rachel's dead. Now, Bilhah was the maid of Rachel. And so then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Edar, which is in Bethlehem area. It's the Tower of the Sheep. And it happened, that's the place where the angels appeared to the shepherds the night that Jesus was born, Tower of the Edar. And it happened when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. So here you have having Jacob with his firstborn son violating his concubine, which is, in a sense, his wife, you know, and bore two children by him. Then you go to Genesis 49:2. And we covered this recently in other studies, but so what kind of a problem did that cause in his life? He lost firstborn status. 49:2, gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn. my might and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and excellency of power is what he was supposed to be. You are my firstborn son, but you're unstable as water. You shall not excel because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch, so you lost firstborn status. And you know, so what we need to teach our children is that sexual immorality is such a pervasive thing in our culture that if you dip your toe into it, you are creating such horrible problems in your own life. You can lose all kinds of, you're deviating from the path that God would have for you in a way that it could alter your life forever. In Reuben's life, it did. I mean, the Messiah would have come through him because he was the firstborn status. 1 Corinthians 5:1, I'll just read it because it's a short little verse. Did it happen in the New Testament? Did it happen in the church in the New Testament? The church in Corinth, probably as godless as we are now, maybe more. But, so people are coming in the church, I want to believe in your Jesus. And, one of them is sleeping with his father's wife. And the church is accepting that, thinking that's okay. And so 1 Corinthians 5:1, Paul says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. He's saying, I know Reuben did it way back with Jacob, but even, the Greek-Roman culture around here, people know, hey, that's too weird. You don't run off with your father's wife. Even the Gentiles are not, know that there's wickedness there. And you are puffed up. You, the church, are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So what are they puffed up at? Hey, the grace of God. Everything's okay. It's okay if this guy wants to live in sexual immorality here, sleeping with his father's wife, because God's grace. And Paul's saying, no, there's got to be a cutoff. There's got to be repentance. Dustin and I listened to a teaching from a Calvary Chapel pastor in Wichita, Kansas, who was teaching out of Isaiah recently. And the way I found out about my good friend Greg Rangel, good pastor friend Greg Rangel, he has a daughter who's going to school in Wichita, Kansas, goes to Calvary Chapel Church, and the Calvary Chapel guy is teaching on Isaiah about the eunuch. In fact, let's turn there. Let's turn to Isaiah. I'm a little bit deviating here from... Kevin never goes on a rabbit trail. Everybody knows that. So Isaiah 57. This is so applicable to today. In fact, I got two different emails today that are directly related to this study. And 56. Isaiah 56:1. 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, the transgender. That's what the pastor was saying. Don't let the transgender say, here I am, a dry tree, for thus says the Lord to the transgenders, eunuchs. And it's not even true. A eunuch is a castrated man who back in the culture for centuries, millennia and countries, is if you wanted to have a servant in the household of a king, then you wanted to make sure he didn't mess with the king's harem, his harem. And so you would castrate him, and then you're a eunuch. But that doesn't mean that he identifies as a transgender. It means that he is not able to have children. That's all it means biblically. And this pastor, Calvary Chapel pastor, Wichita, Kansas, twisted it to say that this is talking about this. to the eunuchs who keep the Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place. And then twisting this to the church, today we should just, inside of our walls, we should give some space because God, and he equated this whole chapter with being in the millennium, and it's not. And you know what? I've taught this, I don't know, dozens of times, going through Isaiah, because remember when Philip is told to draw himself, you know, go jump into the chariot of the Ethiopian that's heading back to Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian eunuch bought the scroll of Isaiah. And he's reading Isaiah 53 about Jesus suffering and dying on the cross for our sins, even though it's not talking, you know, 700 years before Jesus, it's talking about being stricken, smitten, afflicted, and on our behalf. And he's going to make many justified and righteous in God's sight. And then he says to Philip, now, is he talking about himself? Is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip says, he's talking about Jesus, let me tell you. And it says that he read on from there. Well, then he only has to go from Isaiah 53 to 56. Three chapters later, he would have been reading, don't let the eunuch say that he has no place, but if he does my commandments and obeys the Sabbath and repent, I mean, he doesn't have to repent. He just has to say, it doesn't matter that I'm a eunuch and I'm an Ethiopian. God now wants me. Can I say something wrong?
And also in contrast to the law, which did not permit a eunuch.
Yeah, right. A eunuch couldn't come in. So it was like, don't say that anymore. New dispensation, the church. You get to be brought in. But this pastor twisted it all, turned this into millennial reign. What does that require? That requires the sheep of the judgment, of the sheep goat judgment at Jesus' return to let a bunch of transvestites in to then be able to be deciding that, yeah, you can come in. And therefore the church, and he goes, I just don't really know what I'm supposed to do about this. Well, why are you a pastor then? Because these verses that we're covering in Corinthians makes it perfectly clear. So it was just amazing. And there's another one too, but I'll get to that later. And so we covered going back to Leviticus, and we covered 1 Corinthians 5. It's actually reported among you. No, they're not in the family of God. They have to repent, and we'll cover more verses in Corinthians later. The nakedness of your sister, Leviticus 18:9. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. No incest between brothers and sisters, probably violated massively in our country today, where again women aren't safe. And why? Because these kind of laws were taught in our culture. Even if people didn't believe in Jesus, it used to be a cultural thing. That's taboo. What about now, where nobody, these kids don't even know who Jesus is anymore? They haven't heard a thing. And they've got Satan speaking to him, you know, hey, have some incest with your relatives. Now, and some people will say, you know, well, where did Cain get his wife? You ever heard that question? So let's turn to Genesis 4:16 to just, let's make the point, and we have to do it here because people will say, well, wait a second, you guys believe there was an Adam and an Eve, and they had children. And so who did they marry? Where did they get their wives? Where did they get their children? Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Oh, where did he get Cain? Well, it says later on, it says that, and they had many other sons and daughters. You know, Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. Well, who did Cain marry? One of his sisters. Had to have married a sister, but it was okay back then because all the genetics of the whole human genome, every single race on earth, you know, physical appearance race on earth was contained because they were all the human race. But what man wants to do, Asians and blacks and Hispanics and all this stuff, white, all the genetics for that were all boom, right in Adam and Eve and their genes. And they would have been having children that were black, you know, looking like Asians, looking like Norwegians, and looking like Europeans, and looking, you know, they would have been having every single kind of child there was, because the genetics were all there to be able to do it. And it's not a problem for them to be inline breeding, is what breeders call it, inline breeding for a while. But then we're going to find out at the time of the Law of Moses is when this all shuts down about having relationships with near relatives. So it wasn't a problem back then. And think about this. How many Jews came out in the Exodus? About 2 million. How many went into Egypt? About 70. So those 2 million came from 70. And so there's relative inbreeding within the genome, which was allowed back then. And now God is going to start saying there's no marrying of close relatives. The nakedness of your son's daughter, verse 10, going back to Leviticus 18:10. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is your own nakedness. No incest between uncles and nieces. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. No incest with half-sisters. Leviticus 18:12. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your kin to your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is the near of kin to your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife, meaning by approaching his wife. She is your aunt. No incest with your aunt. Now, if you look at Exodus 6:20, turn there, Exodus 6:20. And I'm skipping the few verses before that. It's going through the lineage of Moses and Aaron. And where does the lineage for Moses and Aaron start? Which tribe are they from? Levi. So the lineage starts with Levi, who had Kohath. And Kohath had Amram. And now Amram, in Exodus 6:20, Amram took for himself Jochebed, which is Levi's daughter. We know that from, you know, the context in Numbers 26:59. His father's, Kohath's, sister. Well, Kohath was the son of Levi. So Jochebed, as being Kohath's sister, is then a, you know, was born, you know, to Levi as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. So we now know that even Moses and Aaron were the offspring of their father marrying his aunt. So Moses and Aaron's father married his aunt. But at the time of the law being given, it's like cutting it off. We've got to now stop with the genetics to make it so this is all unlawful. And then going back to Leviticus 18:15. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You're really insulting him. No incest with sister-in-law. And the other item that I got today is, you know what's really trending? And there's a book out, and a lot of 4% of the population is now having multiple relationships with consent of their husband wife. People are saying, "Hey, let's both fling on each other with each other's consent," in multiple different ways. They've got a new name for it. Books are coming out on it, and so all this stuff. All this stuff is being, Satan is inspiring our culture, throw it all away. Get rid of it. Anything goes, do whatever you want to do. And it even addresses, the author even addresses the fact that some people use the argument, this is just bad just think of how it would rip your heart out with jealousies and the other things that are happening. No, actually, that just shows that you're too jealous. You need to just be letting go and doing all this other lies from Satan to destroy the family. So, verse 16, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. No incest with your sister-in-law. Verse 17, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near of kin to her. It is wickedness. And how many people today, common event for women who are down and out, already getting into prostitution, and they let their daughter be used by the same man. And it's all wickedness and in our culture, and God sees it. And he told them at the beginning and at the end of this chapter, this wickedness that the other nations did has now become, America's become as the other nations did. And then judgment comes, destruction. Leviticus 18:18. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. When did that get violated? Jacob. By trickery. You know, he wanted to marry Rachel, and nope, you can't do that. Marry Leah. Did that work out well? Did that seem like it was really all really happy time around the table? Because it does rip the heart out. We're not created to have these kind of emotional problems that are associated with all these wicked things, because God in the beginning created us man and woman. They're supposed to be husband and wife and not supposed to have the problems that are created by these kind of immoralities. Verse 19, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. For health reasons, possibly for fertility reasons, because after the issue of blood stops, there's a certain number of days, and that's a time where she's fertile. And the guy's waiting the whole time too, and he's more fertile. So what does it say when you go to Exodus chapter 1? And then the Egyptians, the Pharaoh came that didn't know, you know, the God of Israel, and all of a sudden the Jews are just exploding in their population, and the Egyptians see them as this horrible problem that they're going to have to deal with because they could become an enemy within the state, a fifth column. And they're just so prolific. Why? Because even the law made them healthy, made them so that they would reproduce. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Adultery. For some people that are married, that are, you know, going to your neighbor's wife. Now, this is the article that I was telling you about that I received from somebody today, the link to it. Actually, it was Dave Clark. He is writing from Idaho, and then he says, here, you know, do you enjoy this link or not? You know what I mean? You're going to enjoy seeing how corrupt we are. And this is the article, April 3rd, 2023, from PHYS, like physics, PHYS.org. Polyamorous relationships can have as many benefits as monogamous ones, shows research. So now, and these are the kind of books that were written in the 50s and 60s about the sexual revolution, and we think that somebody's not going to read this, it's not going to affect the culture. This is going to major affect our culture. And it has to stay out of the church. We can't be listening to these kind of arguments. This is the definition of polyamory, is the form of ethical or consensual non-monogamy that involves having romantic or sexual relations with multiple partners at the same time. Ethical or consensual non-monogamy describes relationships in which all parties are aware of and consent to practice non-monogamy. So it's people that are being deceived by Satan into getting, you know, husbands and wives just saying, you know, I'm going to go with him and her and everything else, and we'll still play family when we want to. And then we can even have the kids. You know, today you can be the dad, but then I'm going to let the kids be with this dad, and we'll still stay married and move around. Some of the hardest critics of polyamorous argue that non-monogamy is harmful to the family unit. Now, why would we argue that? Why? Because God created us, and he created the family, and we know he's always right, and we know that Satan is always wrong. leading to divorce and breakdown of families. Well, leading to divorce and breakdown of families is people violating what our Creator said in those areas. However, according to Clardy, the author of this book, polyamorous families both exist and thrive, and such an arrangement can actually benefit children. It may take an entire village to raise a child, but it stands to reason that all things being equal, having more than one father or mother as a caregiver may be even more conducive to meeting children's needs, as children may be loved and nurtured in unconventional families, says Clardy. Don't children have a hard enough time just having to trade between, you know, father and mother because of divorce? And then they're sitting there going, now you're my father, but now my mom is taking me over to this guy, and I wanted mommy and daddy to love each other. See, the children are created to want mommy, daddy to love each other until death they do part. And there's safety in that. It's going to drive people nuts. Indeed, it may turn out that on average, the existence of more than two caregivers is the superior parenting arrangement. And all of this is because what they want to do is to get the laws changed, because the law is just, you know, husband and wife, financial advantages, banking advantages, all these other advantages. The laws need to be changed. We need to change the laws, just like we changed the laws about same-sex marriage. They'll change the law on transvestites. They'll change the law on this, so that if you just hook up here, there, or whatever else, you know, you're going to get the tax benefits. You know, maybe you can split the tax benefits, and it's going to be chaos. Aren't you glad we're beaming up soon? Because we can tell, I'm discerning this is going to take off. And our children are going to be impacted by it at schools, you know, wherever schools. The kids are going to not just be talking about whether or not they're dating, you know, a girl's dating a girl and a guy's dating a guy. But, well, what are your parents doing? Well, today my mom is off with this person and off with that person. My dad is off with this person, off with that person. And it's going to be absolute chaos in the social networks of the youth of our world today. Verse 21. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire of Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. What's that? Today we call it abortion. Them, they would have, Molech was a sex god. They would have their relationships. If there was a conception that came as a result of it, they would dedicate their children to Molech, which is technically what our culture is doing today. And then they would burn their children in the arms of a heated up Molech idolatrous statue. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And so again, this pastor is all confused because he ended up talking about the LGBTQ lifestyle. And it's an abomination to God. Why do you have to figure out whether or not somebody in your church can come into your church and do this? So then we're going to close with these parallel passages. Well, we might come up to one more in Leviticus 18. So, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I mean, it just was shocking to me. It made me wonder whether, you know, what the pastor was into in his own life. But the Bible is very, very clear about what is supposed to be maintained within the church. And I want to make sure that everybody realizes right now, the Bible, our last verse is going to be, and such were some of you. See, there has to be the repentance from turning away from immorality to be part of the church. I wrote to you in my epistle, 1 Corinthians 5, 9, not to keep company with sexually immoral people. And what we know from his first letter, when he wrote them, he goes, stay away from sexually immoral people. And the people received it and they go, whoa, how do I do that? I live in Corinth. Paul, you've been here. Don't you know what this place is like? I mean, I have to go dig a hole someplace. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. Yeah, you would have to get out of here. because that's the way the world is. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, somebody who says, I'm a Christian, who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? You know, we don't judge the outside. They do what Satan wants them to do. They're not born again. They don't have God. They're going to go do what the world does because that's the way they are. But do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. And he's not saying we're judging them to go to hell. We're saying, actually, you're not one of us. If you want to stop calling yourself a brother and you want to come and hear about Jesus, then you're welcome. We did that with a transvestite here. You can come and listen, but you're not a Christian. And we're going to call you Steve. We're not going to call you Stephanie. And
he married a woman yesterday.
As a result of us communicating to him. And so then a few weeks later, he comes and he wants to talk at the office. And we talked at the office. And I said, you're on the path that's leading to hell. You are being deceived. And you can I read these verses to him. You can get back onto the path of being right with God. And he was going to a Christian ministry in the area for college and career kids. And they weren't saying a thing to him. They were in violation of this very section of scripture. They should have been saying, no, you don't get to be a guy and dress up as a girl. You don't get to go from Stephen to Stephanie. But we want to tell you about Jesus can change you. And so after the conversation I had with him in our office, he went back to the Christian organization and said, you know what? I want total support from you as I change back to being a guy. And now he just got married. I didn't know it was yesterday. Dustin and I saw him here a month or so ago with his fiance at the time. And 1 Corinthians 6:9. Let's go to 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, to let the Wichita Calvary Chapel pastor know, and not the millennial reign, even though that chapter 56 of Isaiah doesn't have anything to do with the millennial reign, they're not going there either. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You know, if you truly become a born-again person, all of a sudden you've repented of calling evil good and good evil. That's what we do before we're saved. We go, God, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm struggling because I got confused under the inspiration of Satan. I got confused, and I want to get fixed, Jesus, so you need to fix me. And then as soon as we do that, such were some of you. I was living in sexual rebellion, drunken rebellion, drug use rebellion, you know, lying rebellion, you know, all the things. Such were some of you, but now you're filled. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 16. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body belongs to him. He tells me what's healthy for me and not healthy for me. And he tells me if you do sexual immorality, you're going to mess with your actual body. And is that true today? How many people have been deceived into sexual immorality and all of a sudden they have a disease that lasts for the rest of their life? Or they have a disease that's going to kill them. And so God warns us in his word. And then finally, Revelation 22:12. What this pastor was even talking about is, you know, I wonder when God lets transvestites into heaven, whether or not, are they going to go back to the way they originally were, or are they going to be transferred forward to what they identified as. And he used the term that, well, you know, really, we don't have to figure that out because whatever it is, it's not going to matter because the tears are wiped away. So he knows what the last two chapters of Revelation say. But he left this part out. But behold, I am coming quickly and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, which we've been reading in Leviticus, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And the major one is, you know, because we all fall short in obeying God's commandments. Can we all, you know, we can all identify as lawbreakers. How do you identify as a lawbreaker? But I'm trusting in Jesus as my Savior. And then when I let Jesus be my Savior, he comes in and writes his law in my heart. And so it's changing me to conform me to his image. But so blessed are those who do his commandments that they might have the right to the tree of life in the eternal heaven and may enter through the gates into the city of the New Jerusalem. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. And what greater lie, and I've emphasized this recently, what greater lie are people loving and practicing than I'm of the other sex? Or that two men should be together, or two women should be together. It says, loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, come out of those lifestyles. Come out of rebellion against God. Come out of the filth of the world. Come out of the deceptions of Satan and come to Jesus and get saved. And let him who hears say, come. You know, and we hear what Jesus is saying, and what do we say to people? Come. You know, what the church is wanting to do is go their way. Wants to go join them. We're saying we're here with Jesus. We're here with what God says. You come this way. Come to Jesus. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So, again, this is a chapter that's mocked by the world today. And as a final point, in this section of Leviticus and chapters following, a guy takes a lot of these Leviticus verses that we're going to get into in the next couple of weeks, and the biblical response, and wrote a Dear Dr. Laura letter, mocking the Bible with laws that are in here. And so what I did with the help of Jane is to write a response to that letter and I realized it was happening because people would use these arguments over and over again. I'd meet people, where are you getting this? Oh, it's the Dear Dr. Laura letter. Haven't you seen it? You know, and just mocking derision against Christians and against the Bible. There's a biblical response to all of their points. The bottom line is that God's, and there's copies out on the back shelf, and if you haven't read it before, and it's also on our website, people can Google it, Biblical Response to Dear Dr. Laura Letter, Pastor Kevin Lee. And so I decided to write it so that we could have an answer for the hope that's within us and not have to go, wow, you know, why does the Bible say that? And we'll cover that in the next few weeks as we get into these. So once again, the world's going crazy. The world's believing Satan. We have to believe God. We have to trust his word and just stick with it. And they're going to hate us for it. But we just love him and love his law and try and live in obedience to him because it goes better for us. There is the blood of Jesus to cleanse us if we violate it. But we don't want to abuse the blood of Jesus, right? So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would just help us to be a light to this dying world, and we grieve over all the agony that especially children across this country and the world are having to endure because the violation of all the things we just read are just rampant, and the sex trafficking and kidnapping and everything that's happening by the tens of thousands of people that are being abused all across, and you see the tears and the weeping of all those children, And really, it just lets us realize that's why we are watching the destruction of this world, because of our rebellion against you. And it's not because we don't vote better. It's because your judgment is upon us. And we just, we thank you, God, that personally our judgment that we deserved was placed upon Jesus. And we thank you that 2,000 years ago he was dying on the cross for our sins. And we rejoice that you have changed us, God, and turned us away from serving Satan to being able to truly serve our Creator with a sincere heart and love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Vilest offender can find peace at the cross. Yeah, it really is grievous, because all the people that live in violation of this, they don't have peace. They have misery and destruction, but the society is saying, oh no, everything's good. And that's why there's so many suicides in the cultures of the LGBT, because they know it. This isn't the way I'm supposed to do, but I'm trapped in it. But you can find peace in Jesus. And we should always have a heart to witness the truth to people that are caught in the traps of Satan, whatever they are. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.